It's Nick, Jess and Darko. Welcome to the podcast. Pack your bags, guys. We're going to Ireland.
To be sure.
Who's famous Irish? Colin?
Brian O'Driscoll?
Conor McGregor?
Rugby player? The rugby player?
There's only one Conor McGregor, and there's no fighter better. And he's going to knock out Floyd Mayweather because the Irish are coming. You can do all you want.
Jim Owen?
Jim Owen.
There you go.
There we go.
Sorry to cut off your singing.
No, it's fine. I know it's bad. I'm sorry.
I thought it was good.
Thank you so much.
We're in Ireland. Almost because of The Weekend at Bernie's. You know the film? Weekend at Bernie's, where their mate dies and they've got to pretend they still have The Weekend in his place and they sort of like use him like a puppet the whole time, his dead body.
Yeah. Weekend at Bernie's is one of those films I've never seen, but I reckon I could tell you the whole plot because it's such a pop culture thing, isn't it?
Yeah,
the premise of the movie.
Yeah, it is.
Totally ignoring rigor mortis, but whatever.
Well, two Irishmen tried to do this. Now,
they tried to Weekend at Bernie's.
Well, sort of, with their mate. So their mate passed away, and I don't know what these guys do, but they were on the pension. And
so we're talking elderly gentlemen.
Yeah. He died, and these two other Irishmen, let's call them, I don't know.
Paddy and
Seamus.
And their dead mate, Bernie.
So Bernie's died, and Paddy and Seamus went, oh, that's a dumb shame that he's dead.
Should we
have a Guinness and get his fucking pension?
Should we get his... Well, who's going to pay for the Guinness? I think you know what it was? It was Bernie's shout.
Yes.
The bugger's dropped dead. He's
had too many. No, Bernie.
You ain't dropping dead just because it's your shout, brother.
Now, I've never collected pension, but supposedly you do it at the post office in Ireland. You can do it there.
Oh, you have to claim it in person?
Yes.
Okay.
So they went into a store in Ireland with, now due to social distancing and COVID being bad, it's pretty bad over there too, I believe. Only three people are allowed in this store. So they went in with Bernie in the middle and those two on either side. This is a true story. Apparently, there was an eyewitness of a 12-year-old girl outside who said, the man looked really unwell and his feet were dragging across the ground. So they didn't even try and like duct tape his feet to their feet and walk together.
Well, someone sounds experienced.
Gilly, mate, you're next.
That'd be really hard with Gilly's height. If it was you and I on either side of him, how are we gonna...
We'd be in his groin like...
So they dragged
him in to the post office and apparently he's just drooping over, hand over each shoulder of theirs, like not conscious, and they had to collect his pension and they couldn't do it because this guy could barely sign anything. I mean, he couldn't sign anything. He was dead.
Barely.
You know what? They had duct tape their wrists together. So Paddy's just lifted his arm and tried to scribble whilst holding the pen in his hand.
Go on the internet. Then you just have to get a dead guy to type, you know? Get the pension that way.
This is the best part, though. When the shopkeeper was like, man, I can't accept this. I think that gentleman is dead. They dropped him. They dropped him and ran out of the store.
What?
See, like, that's why they didn't take the ankles.
Get away.
So yeah, I mean,
so they left their dead mate.
Yeah, after trying to get his pension.
Office.
Yeah, I don't know what the prosecution is for that. I don't know what happens to you.
What's the crime?
Yeah.
I guess there's some attempted fraud in there.
Yeah, and manhandling
a
dead
worse
guy.
One. Yeah.
Right now though, we are talking pufferfish. I mean, 13, 10, 60. If you own one as a pet, I didn't know you could own them as a pet.
I didn't think so either.
I thought they got big spikes and they puff up and they hurt you.
How do you catch a pufferfish to put it in captivity to then sell at the pet shop to take home?
Chainmail, I assume.
Little armoured vest.
And I know you're familiar, Gilly, but just for everyone who's not, we're talking the porcupine pufferfish specifically today. Yeah, of course, the porcupine pufferfish.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
He's spikier.
Oh, spiky little
than
girl.
The regular puffy boy.
Her name's Goldie?
Regular Goldie girl.
Goldie is a pet to Mark Byatt, who's 64. That information isn't vital, but I just want to put it in there. Marky has a 64-year-old pet, pufferfish Goldie, in a tank at home.
Oh, God, love him.
When all of a sudden he noticed Goldie's teeth were getting so big, they were coming outside her mouth like big buck teeth, she couldn't eat anything. And poor Goldie was losing all this weight.
Like the tow truck from Cars.
Exactly like that. That is a niche reference, but you are spot on. Yeah, we are also going to post a photo on Instagram if you haven't seen the tow truck from Cars or if you're not familiar.
You must. Yeah. Can I ask a question? You might not have the info.
Yeah.
Does Mark have any other pets or is Goldie his pride and joy?
I think Mark's very single with no other pets.
Okay. So Goldie's his girl.
Goldie's his girl.
Goldie's his life.
It's one girl, you know. If Goldie's not eating, and Goldie's 5 years old too,
Which how long do pufferfish last?
I don't know, producer Alex, can we Google that? I have zero idea how long pufferfish. What's the average lifespan of a pufferfish?
Of a pufferfish. Because, you know what? Today. The research is probably pufferfish in the wild.
Yeah.
I'd love to know. This girl, I reckon she's been taken very good care of.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, supposedly too good to get care because porcupine pufferfish teeth are known as beaks. They grow continuously throughout their lives. But they
like men's ears. Isn't that a thing?
Do they keep on going?
I think so.
Yeah, right.
Really?
Made that up. Concerning. Maybe I'm thinking of the hair in the ears.
I'm quite happy with my ear-to-head ratio at the moment.
Yeah, I don't want to get too big. Yeah, and pufferfish live till 10, apparently.
Pufferfish live till 10? Jeez, the goldfish has got a bit to work on.
And they do, don't they? And pufferfish probably have better memories than the goldfish as well.
True.
Anyway, apparently their teeth are normally in the wild worn down on regular diet of hard shell foods. But when they're in a home environment in a tank, they don't want to eat their other tank mates. So they just take the happy little, you know, chicken risotto they're getting from their owner.
As if Mark is not cooking himself some chicken risotto and then a tiny little portion for Goldie.
Yeah. Oh, as if he's not having Maggi noodles and he's giving Goldie the chicken risotto.
That's so right.
So Goldie was brought into the vet where they sedated her using a water bowl filled with anesthetic. So she was in that.
What?
And it sedated her. Then they could lift her up with a damp towel. So they'd take her out with a damp towel, grind down the teeth so she wouldn't get her defense mechanism, which is where they puff out to like four times their size.
But don't fish have to be submerged in water to live?
Yeah, so they'd leave her in the water for a bit and then she was on oxygen as well. Then they'd take her out in then they take her out in a damp towel so she wouldn't puff up, grind down, put her back in water. Where the oxygen was in, like, get her going.
What did they use, like a nail file?
Yeah, it's literally, I was going to get sound effects, but it just sounds horrific. It's like a dentist. It just sounds like, zzz, like the drill of just grinding it down.
And what, did they go to a vet or did they go to a dentist?
Went to a vet, a proper vet. This must have been one of the most complex veterinary, you know, assignments they
had. I know vets have to learn every animal. Because you just don't know what someone's going to bring in. Is there a day you go into vet school and they go, today, guys, the pufferfish.
Yeah.
The porcupine
the porcupine pufferfish.
Yes, how to anesthetize so we can grind teeth. And how much did this procedure cost?
Oh, it doesn't have that, but I don't imagine it would have been cheap.
You know why it wasn't included? Because money's no issue when it comes to Goldie with Mark. Do you know what I mean? It's not worth reporting on.
Yeah.
Because it could have been $1,000 to grind Goldie's teeth and he would have happily... kept eating noodles.
The only thing Mark was torn about is the overtime he's got to work to pay for the procedure because that just takes away from the time that he can spend with Goldie.
100%.
So true. And it looks like Goldie has veneers. The photo's on our Instagram at Nick, Jess and Ducker.
She's got little dentures.
Yeah, it looks like good teeth. Very white too.
Very white. Oh, well, I mean, while you're there, get a little bit of that bleachy stuff on under the UV.
The polish.
Dental
hygienist. Mark could be brushing Goldie's teeth.
Absolutely.
The Colgate extra water it is. He'd be brushing that.
Can he just... Oh, I guess you can't just get an ankle grinder.
That would hurt.
Might hurt Goldie.
Anesthetic, yeah.
He could get puffed up. But anyway, apparently 10 minutes later, you know, recovered, back in the tank, swimming around, at home now. Teeth are all good, feeling all about herself.
Happy as Larry.
Happy as Larry.
I mean, she's taken some excellent pics. We've got one up on the Nick Jess Ducko Instagram story. She's a bloody poser.
Oh, yeah.
Because she knows
she
looks good.
Yeah. Yeah. Wonder if she spoke funny like you do after the dentist with anesthetic for
she's
all
a bit numb.
While.
Bit numb.
Oh, I can't feel my lips.
Is that
she's
Goldie?
A lady.
Yeah, come on, be Goldie. Be
oh,
a lady.
I can't feel my lips.
That's better.
Do pufferfish have lips?
I don't know.
If they have teeth, do they have lips? Do you reckon they smooch?
Oh, do they tongue punch? Do pufferfish tongue? I don't think so. I don't think they could. They're too.
He's so worried about her dental care.
Yeah.
Maybe.
And then if they get excited, they puff up and it's like, oh, she's a keeper.
They see each other. Oh, God. And then the porcupine's teeth are too big. There'd be a lot of teeth in that hookup.
There's so many teeth, so many spiky things. So many things you could hurt yourself on.
A couple of teenagers going at it. That's what it would be like.
That's what it would be like. Back of a car. Oh, my God.
Anyway.
Goldie.
Goldie, there's the pufferfish story. You didn't know you needed, but you needed, and you got.
Next time you're at trivia,
True
or false, do pufferfish have teeth? You'll know. Oh, wait a minute.
Porcupine.
Jess and Ducko taught me this.
It's Newcastle's Hit 106.9 with Nick, Jess and Ducko.
Gosh, I'm so excited for this.
Yeah.
Tell your nonnas to get the good plates out, get the cafetiera on the stove, pull the panettone out of the pantry that's been there for 12 years.
Just for display. Just don't actually display. Uncover
don't use it.
Exactly. Sushi Mango are coming to town this Friday. They're going to be at the Entertainment Centre. These are three Melbourne comedians, three boys, two brothers and their best mate, who have racked up over like 120 million views.
They're very funny.
Online.
Yeah.
They do a lot of piss takes of ethnic mums and dads and nonnas and nonnos, and it is just brilliant. And they are bringing their very, very cool brand of comedy right here on our doorstep. So Joe and Andrew from Sushi Mango join us this morning. Good morning, boys.
Hey!
How are you? Excited to be in Newcastle on Friday?
We are so excited. We've postponed this bloody thing 3 times, and we just can't wait to get there. We've got so much excitement to come there. It's just not funny at all.
I hope it's funny. Isn't your whole thing funny?
No, the show's really bad.
Don't come to it. It's really bad.
No, the show's not funny at all. Don't come at all.
By the way, that was a magnificent introduction. I really loved that. The panettone lines.
The panettone, very good. Yeah, I mean, my surname's Faccioni. When I was saying to the boys, I'm so excited to talk to the guys. Like, I grew up making the tomato sauce in my uncle's shed, and I was like, I'm going to ask the guys, like, what their role in the production line was, and they're looking at me like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, I said, nah. We can't relate.
Exactly. Yeah. I was the bottle stopper, boys. Like, that was my job. I had to put the bottle caps on the old beer bottles with my uncle.
I was the de-stalker.
Oh, you're the de-stalker of the tomatoes.
Is that a tougher job? Is that a tougher gig, the de-stalking?
I think so. By the end of the day, man, I needed a manicure, but either, man, hands were a little bit raw, red raw, but yeah, I was all good.
Yeah, look like a murder scene, the old tomato shed, yeah.
And so the show, it goes for 2 hours, obviously, on the end center this Friday. Can't wait for it. What can we expect in the Sushi Mango Show? Because you guys are obviously massive on Instagram, do lots of skits, lots of funny things. What kind of things are we getting into in the show?
Well, we basically got, it's 4 or 5 skits of just living a WOG life. Am I allowed to say that? Mm-hmm. Living an ethnic life.
Do you know what?
You
once,
can.
Joe,
we can.
Yeah,
we can.
You know what? Once I had a boss tell me, he goes, you say WOG too much. I went, I got a vowel in my surname. I'm allowed. You can't come for me.
Yeah.
There's different types of skits and different scenarios, and every ethnic will be able to relate. Actually, even non-ethnic will be able to relate. Everyone will be able to relate to this show. As long as you've got a pulse and a heartbeat, you'd be able to relate to this show. Wow. But again, it's not funny.
It's not funny.
Well, I mean, you say that, but how do you come up with the sheer volume of content that you guys do? Because, you know, back in the day, you used to just have to curate a stage show, and maybe you do one max, 2 a year. Now you guys are putting out sketches online most days, I would say, and then still doing a stage show as well.
Well, I don't know about Joe, but for me, I just grab a notepad and go to my parents' place.
Just look around.
Look around, open the cupboards, go in the garage, just enough material for another, there's another 3 weeks worth of material right there. You know what I mean?
So, well, on that note, boys, I mean, how do your parents feel about these? It looks like you film a lot of your content.
Their parents would have no idea because they wouldn't know how to work social media. That's how you get away with it.
Yeah, do they know? Have they ever seen you guys in costume? Because you do dress up as your mothers and your fathers. How do they feel about what you do for a living and how you've made your money?
I play a character called Pino. He's an older man, and he's basically an exaggerated version or an embellished version of my father. Mm. And I tell him, hey, Dad's you. And he's like, what was that? That's not me. No, that's not me.
So, I'm a much handsomer.
You know, basically all our characters are our family. I'm not sure they would ever admit that it's them. But,
My auntie's exactly the same. My auntie said, oh, those are characters you play. It's so funny. It's not like us at all.
And in that itself, there's the gags right there. Thank you.
It's so good.
And there was a wedding recently. He's on his honeymoon right now, but Carlos, the big fella, got married.
Carlo, well, why should he be happy? You know what I mean? So he's gone and gotten married. He's actually on his honeymoon. That's why he's not here. We thought we'd let him give him 3 days break before we head to Newcastle.
Yeah.
And he got married. And, you know, let's just say that he ended up taking off with a lot of envelopes. And the envelopes in a WOG wedding is cash.
Exactly. There's no gift registry anymore because we've all got toasters and the good plates. We just want your money.
Yeah.
And did he do the same thing on the invitation, Joe, with the, oh, you know, this will be put towards our future for the honeymoon, all that jazz?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. And put towards a couple of units. That's what it was put towards.
Well, the boys, fresh off the boat, it's going to be at the Newcastle Entertainment Centre. Tickets are available at ticketek.com.au. Joe, Andrew, Carlo, we can't wait to see you in Newcastle. Yeah. Yes. We'll give you the best hookups for the coffee.
We need some tips from you guys when we get there. We want to give you some tickets. We'll give you 10% off. You guys, no problem.
Beautiful. 10% off. Very good.
Generosity. I love that. 10%
off. Thanks, boys.
Cheers, guys.
Thanks, guys.
I want to start this next story by saying that I love my nieces and nephews.
Great. It's always turned out well after this.
But something has happened in our family that Morgan and I have been actively, subtly trying to avoid, and now we can't. And I want your advice on it, whether you think we look like creepers or not, if we do said thing.
If that thought has already entered your mind,
yeah,
guaranteed it's creepy. Do you know what I mean? If there is whiff of creep, it's creep.
So my sister, my older sister, who has four kids, as you know, breeds them like rabbits. She can't remember all the names at all times. She every year makes a calendar for my aunties, uncles, grandparents, and gives it to them for Christmas with the kids on every month.
Oh, like firemen with puppies.
Correct.
But she does the children.
Yes.
Is she trying to make enough kids to have every month covered?
All 12?
Yeah. How does it work? Honestly. Is that why she had the four so it's evenly split in the 12 months?
Maybe. Everyone gets a couple. She's very organised. Okay. She's very thorough too.
12 is divisible by 1, 2, 3, 4 and 6.
Oh, okay, so she can go a couple.
As long as she doesn't have five, she needs twins next.
Man, honestly. So anyway, we've never been given a calendar. And the calendar's cute. The calendar's cute, but I don't want a calendar because, like, getting a calendar of that of kids that are not my own for people that come into my house and see it, I personally think is a little bit creepy.
I would argue a calendar full stop, shit gift. That's not a good gift.
I know. It's a cop-out, really.
It's such a cop-out.
Give this to grandma because your kids are cute. And I'm going to go buy her, like, a scratchy or something like that. Look
100%.
Like an idiot.
But you add another element there.
Yes.
It's all children that are not your own.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm going to show you a photo right now. Maybe we can post this. I haven't asked my sisters. Maybe I can't. It's her kid. This is one of the dates. This is July. Okay. You tell me if you saw this in the Duckman's household, if you thought this would be creepy. Oh,
okay, can we describe what we're saying? Is that Molly? Is that
no,
Prue?
No, that's Prue.
Prue. Okay, yeah. So Prue, God love her. She's in a red tutu. Yeah. She's clearly at a ballet photo shoot. She's maybe just done a concert.
She looks adorable.
She looks adorable. She's got a little tiara and the high bun.
But if
she's
I had that in my house,
the camera.
If you've come into my living room.
In your childless house.
In my childless house.
With no other child things around.
And you've just seen a girl in a tutu who's like three.
And
like,
that's the calendar. So you don't see any of the other pages. You just assume that you've bought a calendar
of
kids doing ballet.
Correct.
Like, what's August, you know?
Here's another month. Here's May. It's a naked kid in the bath.
Okay.
You know?
Playing
with toys. And it's very cute. And I know that my nieces and nephews, so it is cute.
You love that child.
I do love those children.
But do you need a picture of it?
Yes.
Above what month was that?
That was July. Every time I go to look at my calendar in July, I'm like, oh, God, I feel weird.
Friends of mine, they keep a calendar, I don't know why, in the toilet. Like, it's hanging on the back of the toilet door. I don't know. She likes to keep the fridge and the kitchen very clean. It's very bare.
Right.
So that's where the calendar lives. Like, where could you put it when, you know, maybe if your sister comes, she sees you've got it. But that guests everywhere is weird.
Here's,
the bathroom door is weird.
Here's the problem. The more secluded it is, the more creepy it is.
Yes!
Like, I'm finding a six-year-old doing ballet in the basement.
Behind my room, in my bedroom door, behind the door. It's like, what the hell?
Just in the spare room where you think your sister will go, but then you forget, you know, someone else is coming to stay instead.
This is the problem because then, she gave it to us, but we didn't get a chance to get it because we got COVID at the tail end of our holiday over Christmas. So we didn't see her again. And we came back to Newcastle. She asked for my address and mailed it to me.
Oh.
And it came in the mail. And Morgan's like, well, we've got to hang it. And like, yeah, we do. Because I know my parents will come soon. And I know she's going to come.
Yeah.
And I've got to have the thing there, but I don't know where to put it. So right now we put it in the laundry. Because we figure the laundry is probably the least visited
Laundry's
room.
Laundry's not bad in terms of a guest perspective.
Yeah.
But you're right. Now, in terms of an actual calendar, it's pointless in the laundry. You need to know the date when you're doing your washing.
Yeah. Now, so what are we doing this week? Head to the laundry to find out. So anyway, you both think creepy?
I think it's weird. Creepy. I think this has to be one of those gifts where you have it in the back of your mind. Hang on. The family's coming over. Get out the platter that mum bought that we hate. Put it on the dining room table.
Yep.
Hang the calendar that my sister got. Quickly put it up on the fridge.
Yep.
Wear the shirt that Nana bought me. Quickly, she's come. Put it on. It's got to be that sort of gift, you know, that just gets rolled out when the recipient comes. Oh, sorry, when the giver comes over.
Yeah. Okay. And when you're wearing a t-shirt where the sleeves go past the elbows, you're like, the family's in town. The calendar's up.
Exactly. The froggy lamp, you know, gets put on the bedside table. Thank you, Aunt Pina. Appreciate it. We use it every day.
It's so good.
We love it.
I love it so much. It's right next to my niece there in a tutu.
We're asking on 131060, what has your mum never forgotten? We know mums have memories like steel traps.
Elephants.
Elephants. Uh-huh. And every now and then, just this little nugget from 15, 20 years ago will come back up.
Oh, yeah.
For my mum, we were speaking on the phone the other day, and she said, what are you doing? I said, I'm just washing lettuce. I was making a salad for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes,
do you have a spinner?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Best invention ever. They're so fun. The salad spinner. Get all that water off. Gets your olive oil to stick better. Anyway, said, I'm washing the lettuce. Now, it's not because I said the phrase, I'm washing the lettuce. Anytime lettuce, washing anything, salad is mentioned or there's one on the table, my mum will find a way to bring up that my very first boyfriend, I would have been 16 years old, his name was Michael, one time he came over for dinner and he saw my mum washing lettuce.
Yeah.
Okay. And he said to her, Lisa, why are you washing the lettuce? My mum's a home economics teacher and she tells us, you don't need to wash lettuce. In fact, you don't need to wash any vegetables. Now, that's all my mum remembers. I don't know if Michael went on to give more of an explanation.
Right.
Because it feels like that's incomplete, that thought.
Yeah. I was waiting for the end of it.
Might have been something to do with you wash the minerals off it, which is clearly ridiculous. But my mum, for 15 years, has been bringing up Michael, my first boyfriend. Remember when your boyfriend used to tell me I didn't need to wash lettuce because his mother was a home economics teacher. I'm like, Ma, I wash lettuce. You won. Like, he didn't. I'm not with him.
I'm married now.
I'm not doing what his mum said to do. I washed the lettuce like you taught me. But like a steel trap, 15 years ago that was, and she's still bringing it up to this very day.
Oh, mate, if you want a 13, 10, 60 things your mums never forget, I had a mate called Crocker.
Crocs.
Came round to my house and it was kind of getting late at night and we were getting a bit peckish. Crocker decided he would cook like some schnitties that we had in the freezer on a fry pan.
At your house?
At my house.
Really?
We were at my house.
Jeez, that's ballsy.
The audacity of Crocker.
Yeah.
I know. Anyway, he let the pan kind of go over the side of the stovetop and it melted one of the knobs for the stovetop. And every time, Mum's like, every time we mention the stove, there's anything to do with the stove or cooking or fry pans, it's like, well, that Crocker was never allowed back in our house after he burnt the knob on my stove top.
Are you still mates with Crocker?
I haven't spoken to Crocker since the year 2000.
It's always like, school stories, isn't it? It's always young.
Like,
I'm not going to forget my mate Jacko. Yeah. He let out. We left. He was at our house for some reason with another mate of mine. I had to go somewhere with my parents and I was coming back.
Yeah.
We lived on Acreage.
You left them at there.
Yeah, we left at the place.
House.
Yeah. I'm good friends with Jacko.
Okay.
And I still am. But we had a bird called Cosmo, a little budgie. We came home and Cosmo's gone and Jacko's on the veranda and he's like, oh, Kate, Cosmo's gone. Where's Cosmo? He's like, I came out and he was just on the outside of his cage. I went to get him back in, but I scared him and he flew off. And I was like, when my mom left, I was like, mate, did you let Cosmo go? Like, what did you do to the bird? To this day, I'll never know what happened to Cosmo, but when we got home, he was gone. And so now mom never forgets that Jacko lost Cosmo.
And Jacko's still in your life. So at least Michael and Crocker, not in our parents'
erased.
Lives, not in our lives.
Yeah.
Jacko's still got to come round and face Kate.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, mate.
And he still apologises for Cosmo. And mum will never, now whenever mum sees a bird or a pet bird or a budgie.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Does Jacko look off into the distance, up into the sky, just every time he comes around, just hoping, maybe days of that.
Maybe today's
is he coming
day.
Back? Cosy's coming.
No, I think Cosy was definitely eaten inside the first hour.
Never returned.
13, 10, 60. This is what we're talking about. And sorry, how long ago?
Oh, that was, I would have been year 11.
God, okay.
2008.
So 15 years, 20 years, our mums with the memory. Yeah. What are the things they've just never forgotten? They just feel the opportune moment to bring up every now and then. We want to hear those stories.
Daniel's embarrassment on 13, 10, 60. What has your mum never forgotten?
I stole a rotten egg from my grandmother's garden and put it in my pocket and it exploded. And she kept going to me, did you steal a rotten egg? And I said, no, I wouldn't do that. And then this horrible smell was just following me everywhere.
Why was the rotten egg in the garden?
Why did you want it?
Why was it special enough to be asked about?
It was in the compost. How old were you, Daniel?
I think I was about 10, and I'm 29 now. So
anytime you've got a bit of a whiff about you, Daniel, does your mum go, have you got another rotten egg in your pocket?
Well, we have curried eggs at every family gathering, so every time there's a family gathering, she's like, do you want to contribute?
That's good gear from mum.
Yeah, that's great gear. I love that. Ben's in Thornton. Hi, Ben.
Yeah, g'day, how you going?
Great, thank you. What has your mum never forgotten?
On my 15th birthday party, me and a few mates thought we'd go out for a walk and cause some drama and we threw eggs through a bloke's front screen door.
Oh, God.
And he decided to give chase and he broke one of my best mate's noses in the process. So cover story from my mum, my stepfather, where the, we were playing football in the backyard and he fell over and I kind of kneed him in the face.
And, so they came up with an alibi for you.
Yep, everything just to cover the story. And then when it gets brought up now is every Christmas or birthday party, because I actually have a son of my own now. Mm. So any time that it's a birthday party, it's always a do-not-do storytelling time, or with my nieces and nephews as well.
Yes.
I'm 36 and it happened when I was 15, so 20 years ago.
Wow. Yeah.
Still getting brought up.
Wonder if he egged Daniel's house and that's where he found the egg.
She got that rotten egg.
That rotten egg.
Lisa in Waratah. What has your mum never forgotten?
Hey, guys. When I was very small, sitting on my Nana's knee. Nana was beautiful, always had beautiful skin and everything, but older, and was putting face cream on, hand cream on, saying, "What's that for, Nana?" And Nana said, "Oh, it's just to help your skin and to, you know, stop getting wrinkles and things like that." Said, "I'm going to use that when I grow up, Nana, but it's too late for you."
You said that to your Nana?
That's good gear.
And I, it's the most horrible thing. And my poor Nana is the most, well, was the most beautiful lady, but just kids and truth. I was only really little.
Yeah.
I'm in my 60s now. It's something that has been remembered for a long time. You know, when
the stories keep getting passed,
I know. But, poor Nana.
Poor Nana.
She's rolling in her grave.
Yeah.
If you want truth, ask a young child.
Ask a young child, yes. And then keep that story going through the generations.
Yes, exactly right.
Very good.
There you go.
Well done.
The mums remember everything.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, jeez. All right. We done?
Yep.
Okay.